Good evening and welcome to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We are glad to have you here on this Easter Sunday evening. I hope you had a wonderful afternoon and a great time this morning as well. We're going to start by singing the song, At the Cross, At the Cross. Let's all stand together. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die?
Alas, and did
and that's what we're going to sing about together this evening.
and amen. Thank you. You may be seated, and it's been a joy to be in church today, and I trust that you feel the exact same way. We start off early, some for the sunrise service, and somebody said, well, if you can't see the sun, is it still a sunrise? It was up there. It's just covered by some clouds, but we thank the Lord. We had it in here, and we had 66, I believe it was, for that, and then the 9 o'clock service was 254, and then 581, I think, for the second service, but some of those were doubled up because the choir was here at both times, but the Lord gave us a wonderful day. And choir, thank you for blessing our hearts this morning. You did a wonderful job, and thank you for those in the choir and those that played special music and then soloists and different ensembles. Just a blessing to be at every thing this morning, and I'm so grateful that God allowed us to enjoy it. There were a great crowd on the buses. Bus workers, thank you for bringing folks in. 118, I believe, is that right? And we thank God for that, and what a joy to just be in the midst of all of it. I wanted to just say, as we'll get started here in just a little bit, Kyle will pray for us, but I want you to please be praying for Miss Linda Stover. She's at home, but night before last, she took a little fall, getting out of the car at her son's house, getting over there for an event, but broke her ankle and her nose. And so please keep Linda in your prayers if you would, and we'll certainly lift her up. And then Miss Edith Rourke, she's over at Johnson City Medical Center, and is doing a little bit better, but I want you to keep her lift up in prayer as well. And then Miss Janice Deacons, she is also at the Med Center, and we're going to get some results back from a PET scan, but she's got some lung cancer she's dealing with, so please keep Janice in your prayers, if you would, please, and we'll thank the Lord for his working in that. Well, I wanted to remind you, in case you didn't get a picture this morning at the photo spot, you'll have an opportunity to do that at the end of the service. And then if you take a good picture, and you could, I'd love for you to update the church app. And you say, I don't even know how to do that. Then just find one of the folks afterwards, Kyle or Anna or Daniel or Amy, myself. Somebody will help you. We'll get you to that. If you get the picture to us, we'll take care of it from there. But it's such a blessing in the app to be able to look and see who people are. And Brother Graham Foran, we were talking about that, how helpful it is as he goes to see folks that he's relearning. Now, if you've been here 45 years, he already knows you, because the people look exactly like you left him, right, Graham? But if you come since then, he's not sure on everybody. So if you'll help him out, then that'd be a blessing. But we would love to have a good picture of you in the church app, and that just helps as members join, and it's a wonderful blessing. So those things are out there. Also want to tell you there's a play date for moms with little ones on April the 10th at Wing Deer Park, 10:30 a.m. If you have some questions about that, you can see Amber Benton, or you can see my wife, and they had a wonderful time last time. It's just a pop-up play date type thing to get some good times together. So if you have questions about that, you've got some little ones, then Amy can help you with all of that. Once you be praying, a week from this week will be our revival. Brother Kenny Baldwin will be here. The AG family will be singing. They haven't been here, but they're a great blessing. I heard them at a church not real far from here, a very dedicated Christian family, and they'll be singing for us each night. And then we'll also have some different emphasis with choirs. We'd love to have you involved. We'll tell more about that next Sunday, but Tuesday night is a Y'all Come Choir. That means if you'd like to be in the choir, then we'll let you. And so we'll come, and I'm planning to be here that night, and so I'll be in this choir up here, and then we'll get it started. Then we'll get down out of the way and let the AG family be a blessing to us. I know they will be. But if you could take one of the nights for nursery, or you help with safety patrol, then there are signups in the lobby back there. If you could just give one night and then enjoy the other nights, we would certainly appreciate that, and we're looking forward to a great time in the revival coming up. Brother Kyle, come make a couple more announcements, but then take our offering as well.
Down this way, and wanted to make note about Tuesday. It'll be a good time for our Oasis group, and so that's you, 55 plus group. Come over for the Oasis potluck, and that starts at 11:30. And come, bring somebody with you if you want to. And it's always a good time. I try to sneak in there and get a little food and fellowship. All right, and so it's a good time. But that's on Tuesday at 11:30 over in the Family Life Center. Let's pray tonight for our offering. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and Lord, we're thanking you for how you worked today, and Lord, how you've worked in different hearts and lives through the day, and Lord, thank you for the opportunities we have each and every week to reach people with the gospel, And Lord, as we come to the offering tonight, Lord, we're praying that you would use this offering for the furtherance of your gospel. Lord, we thank you for how you have blessed us. And Lord, as we give back to you, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Why don't you take your songbooks, turn to 131, or look up on the screen as we think about this evening.
I hear the Savior say,
the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt beneath the old olive trees. All the sin of the world on the Savior was hurled, as he knelt in the garden alone. Hear his soul burdened plea, let this cup pass from me, even so, not my will, thine be done. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt beneath the old olive trees. May my song ever be of the love proffered me by my Lord all alone on his knees. Praise his wonderful name, he who bore all my blame, from the garden to dark Calvary. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he prayed neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he prayed neath the old olive trees. Not my will, thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he prayed neath the old olive trees.
Yeah.
Well, all day today, we've been reminded of different moments that led up to the cross and then the moments that followed them. And we've thought again and again, and there's been so many songs that have mentioned that fact that led to it all, and that was the love of God for us. And this week, as you read through your prayer devotion, we were encouraged, if you were on that devotion, I don't remember which one it was, to pray this prayer for someone. Ephesians chapter number 2 or chapter number 3 verse 4 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I said this morning, the thing that led to the cross was the love of God, but the thing that resulted, that is the result of the cross, is the glory of God through the salvation of us all. And it is because of that great love. And we want to sing one more song together. We're going to stand, and the deacons are going to make their way forward to prepare for the Lord's Supper. We're going to sing, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He would give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
Thank you so much. I want to share something with you, and then we'll enter into the time of the Lord's table. But before we do that, I want to just give you another few thoughts from the resurrection story and soon thereafter in John chapter 20, verse number 19. Jesus is going to appear to the disciples. He's already, of course, we talked about the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene back in verse 1, but in verse number 19 of John 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. We know that story. I'll stop there, and I'll pick it up just in a moment. But I want to give you just a couple of thoughts about this. One, in verse number 20, I thought about this, that we mention this from time to time, but truth never minds a challenge, meaning it doesn't mind being examined. And when he had so said, he showed them unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. This group of men were shut up, and they were for fear of the Jews in verse number 19. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them, and here they were afraid, and here they were hiding, as it were. But Jesus comes, and he doesn't mind them being afraid. He doesn't mind them being troubled. He doesn't even mind them wondering. And I thought about this, that truth doesn't mind a challenge. Jesus tells him, look. And he would do no less for us when we have fear in our lives about things coming down the pike for us, when we have troubles in our families or troubles in our situations. He had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his feet. And then the disciples were glad. Not only does truth never mind a challenge. I was reading about this and talking about how families will remember how we handled things. Sometimes we're good at making big pronouncements about things, but we're not very good about handling different situations gracefully. Jesus doesn't scold them for being afraid at this point. He doesn't get them in trouble. He just simply shows his hands and proves to them who he is. But not only that, in verse number 21, I thought not only is truth not mine to challenge, but also being close to the Lord brings us joy. The Bible says, then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. When Jesus showed who he was and they really got clued into it, the Bible says they had that joy in verse number 20. And then he says, peace, be settled, be at ease, peace be unto you. And being close to the Lord brings joy. Sometimes I'm afraid us Christians, we forfeit the joy that God wants us to have. And we do it not because we lose the Lord. He doesn't lose us for sure. But we get distant in some of our thoughts. And we start filling our minds with all the cares of the world. And we forget that the Lord wants to be close to us. But being close to him brings joy. Are you close? Would you say that he is my dearest friend? Or would you say that when trouble comes, you quickly go to somebody else and try to get comfort and peace from them? There's nothing wrong with having folks that do that for us. But if you always need somebody, you're going to run into a problem one of these days because somebody won't always be there. And all you'll have is the Lord. And like one old preacher said, when he is all you have, you'll find that he is all you need. Being close to him brings joy. But not only that, in verse number 23, Jesus tells the disciples, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Now, we're not apostles here. We don't get the same gifts that the apostles did. None of us are going out of here and grabbing vipers and drinking poison and doing different things that at certain times Jesus gave as instructions. But the Lord does give strengthening power. He gave strengthening power to these disciples. And he said, this is what I want you to do. He breathed on them and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so we don't necessarily do the same acts of the apostles, that's for sure. There were some signs, gifts that were given for a certain period. But here's what I can tell you from this passage. We still do have gifts and callings of the Lord that he gives to us that we are supposed to operate in his power. John chapter 14, but the Comforter which is come, verse 26, but the Comforter which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. And so as much as the disciples in that time were given special gifts and many of them signed gifts to impress or to prove to who they were to the people around, the Lord doesn't give those necessarily to us, but he does give us an empowering. He gives us an ability. He gives us that ever-abiding presence. He gives us his help and he gives us our strength. And I believe that most of the people in this room, you had things that came to mind just in the nick of time. Somebody was telling me the other day how they were not arguing, but they were talking with somebody, and they said, I didn't have a chance to rehearse what these people, because I didn't know what these people were going to be asking. But this brother said, it just seemed like as they ask a question, the Lord just kind of seemed to bring a thought to mind, a scriptural thought, that is, and a passage. And they were able to be a blessing to this person who was having some struggles. The Lord gives us strengthening power. Well, that was what happened without Thomas present. Well, the next week, after 8 days, in verse number 26, after 8 days again, his disciples were within. Thomas with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you, the same way he came last week. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered. He didn't have to do what Jesus offered for him to do. Then he answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Let me just give you three thoughts about this as well. In verse number 27, I think about this. The Lord is patient as we need time. Do you ever notice that the things that you don't have problems with, you also don't have patience with other people who do? The areas that you don't struggle with, it seems to perturb you something awful when other people have struggles with it. But the things that you have struggles with, you may have patience a mile long. I just don't understand why they can't get over that. All of us have troubles. We don't all have the same troubles, but we all have struggles and troubles. They're just different. But verse number 27, notice that Jesus didn't scold him, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. I submit to you tonight that the Lord is patient as we need time. Thomas should have just believed the other guys. Jesus had been telling these disciples he's going to raise again anyways. But Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. But boy, Jesus didn't mind saying, Thomas, reach here. I want you to think this also, or think about this rather, in verse number 28. Not only is the Lord patient with us, but can I just offer this as a thought, that a legitimate time with the Lord proves a lot. Verse 28, and Thomas answering and said unto him, my Lord, my God, is basically as if he's saying, forget I mentioned it, Lord. How many of you understand? Lord knew what he said the last week. For us, it was just a few verses before, but in time, it was 7 days before. He said, well, unless I get to do this, or unless I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails, I won't believe. Well, Jesus is not vindictive like we are. If it had been us, we'd say, I'll show you a thing or two, big boy. But Jesus doesn't respond like that. But I thought about this aspect, that a legitimate time with the Lord proves very, very much. When Thomas got there with the Lord, Lord, I don't need it anymore. And when the Lord does something in your heart, you will have many of your questions answered as well. Those skeptical things that you thought, those worrisome things that plagued you, when you truly have an interaction with the Lord, be it in a service or be it just with your Bible when you're there at the house, or when the Lord does something specific and special in your life, you're going to say, point taken, Lord. Point taken. That song that the choir sang this morning, I will rise, I will rise, did my heart a lot of good. And all of the music was just very, very powerful. And as you sit in the service, the Lord was doing a work in my heart. That's one of the reasons why God wants us to be in church. Amen. Because God may not get us, and he doesn't get us, but he may not all work in the exact same way. But when we're here, he works in us. Braden's dad and I were at a meeting one time, and it was a large thousands of people gathered, and people were hooping and hollering. There's a whole bunch of preachers. And I thought, man, this is wild. And I told Brian, this is wild. And the preacher up there was preaching about Sunday's coming, meaning that it was dark right now because Jesus was in the grave and the devil thought he had the victory and all of this darkness was around, but Sunday was going to come when it was going to see the empty tomb, and you can imagine how that sermon might have played out, and the bunch of preachers, they were just very, very much getting into it. And I said, boy, this is wild. This is crazy. And before long, I was one of those wild and crazy ones, and I was right enjoying myself right along with them. And I say that because a legitimate time with the Lord, it proves a lot. And then lastly, verse number 29, it's this last observation. I give to you that God is still working on hearts. And Jesus, in essence, is prophesying, so to speak, that people will keep on believing. Because in verse number 29, he says, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And he was just basically, in essence, saying all the people that are going to come after, that's us. I didn't see the Lord by faith. Yes, you understand, but we didn't see him like they did. And the blessing of my heart as I close this Easter service, or Easter Sunday rather, is to remind us that God's still working on hearts. There's still people in the Tri-Cities area, many, many of them, that need to be saved. Still people around this world, eight point some billion people that need the gospel if they don't have it. About half the world hasn't ever heard a clear presentation of who Jesus is. Not to mention all the ones that have heard, but they just simply have not believed yet. But I take great comfort in the slight prophecy that Jesus gives that say that many of them are going to still believe. And that means I want to be found working for the Lord. So I'm grateful for God being patient with me. I'm thankful that, like Thomas, he didn't scold, he didn't demean. He said, I want you to check some things out. And Thomas said, I don't need to. And I can tell you this, if you've had a true work of the Lord in your heart, you don't really need all of those academic proofs either. Although they're there, the historical aspect of the resurrection, people may or may not believe it, but historically with historians, you can tell that there was a man named Jesus Christ, and there was a whole lot of people who claimed to see him after he was dead. But then when you had that working of the Lord in your heart, now you're not so much relying on some old historical timeline or annals of time, the annals of history. Instead, you know what happened to you. And it's not the most analytical or academic proof that there was a resurrection, what I'm going to say, but as far as in my little heart, it gets me the most, and that is that I'm totally different than I used to be. My desires are different. My pleasures are different. The things that I want to see happen are different. And that's because the difference that Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, has made in me. And I'm thankful that Thomas, not understanding all those things, he's a little behind the rest of the guys. But Jesus said, well, Thomas, I showed the rest of them last week. I don't mind showing you this week. Isn't that a blessing that our patient Savior doesn't scold like some of us do? Well, Tom, what's wrong with you? You should have listened to the other boys. I showed them last week. He didn't say any of that. And it teaches me that God's still working in the hearts of people. He was working then, but he's also working now. Father, I pray that you bless us. And Lord, I'm just very humbled, grateful of what you're doing in our midst. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would just continue to work. And we'll certainly thank you for all that you do. As we get ready to shift gears here, so to speak, and we're going to have the deacons will uncover our table and we'll step down to the floor and observe the Lord's table. Father, this is an exciting time in our church. It's an exciting time, 2026, to be involved in this wonderful church. But it's also just an exciting time in our church family, because here we get to sit, look back at what you did for us on the cross, and look forward to what you're going to do in your return. Bless us, I pray, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." This was just shortly before his crucifixion. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' The same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.'" I love this verse. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." So tonight, it's a joy for our church to get to do what the early Christians got to do, the disciples got to do there, and then churches all the way down through till now have gotten to do. And that is, they've gotten to remember the Lord's death, remember his sacrifice, and then we do that together tonight. So if our deacons will stand, and they're going to serve you tonight. We just thought it'd be very, very fitting for our Easter time to do it the way that we've done it in years past, and let them come and serve you. Bless you, Scott. Thank you. Bless you, Rick. Thank you. Bless you, Marty. Thank you. God bless you, Bobby. God bless you. God bless you. Well, just as I pause for a moment, I don't think there's anything wrong with having other thoughts as we think about the blessed sacrifice that the Lord brought, because it's given to the church for us to do this. But I'm looking at different people as I'm not looking to see who they're passing it to or anything like this. But I see Jack and Carolyn there, Jack's mom on this side, their daughter and future son-in-law, their son and daughter-in-law, and there are other daughters back in the back, and I see a grandson over here with his grandma, and looking at Josh Simmons up there, his boys, and it's just a joy for our church family to get to be together. Amen. And here we are, not only are we together, because we could be gathered around some other interest if we had a common interest, but we're not. We're gathered around faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just so blessed. I'm really overwhelmed, actually, by how good the Lord is to give us this group of people. And that's really one reason why I'm not preaching. I already did a little bit of that. That's really one reason why I don't like to hear when somebody says, well, did you hear what so-and-so did? And sometimes as pastor, if somebody did something that needs attention, then I have to because of the position I hold. I get that. But if it's not something like that, really, I don't care to know, because I don't want people talking about my family on our street, my family that lives in my house. But I also don't want people, I don't want to hear people talking about this family either, because I love you. And I'm grateful that God allows us as a church family to get to do what the scripture says here, just to observe the Lord's table until he comes and gets us, because one of these days we'll be done with this. Will be with the Lord. With all that being said, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Our Savior sacrificed himself for you and for me. Let us never forget what these things are for. It's not for a ritual. It's for remembrance. And now the deacons will stand again and will distribute the cup, which is unfermented fruit of the vine, grape juice, because that best represents the precious, sinless blood of the Lord Jesus. the position that we believe is most biblical is the juice that you're about to partake is unfermented fruit of the vine, grape juice, because it represents the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's grape juice all the way. It's just all the way down. Doesn't change in that regard, but it represents the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And there are some folks that would like to reduce the emphasis on that, but the scripture holds it very high because that sacrifice was needed for our salvation. I have to say one last thing. I've watched people all day long serve each other and try to go out of their way to help people. And I just saw one of our deacons back there helping somebody even while the rest of the folks were already waited on. And he was going out in the lobby to help some other family get even just the cup. And so it's a wonderful thing to get to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. And all of that we get to do while we still obey the scriptural command. And so as we come to this part in the service and this day, I bring you back to the scriptures where it said, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. What a joy to be in God's house. And I never like to close a service without giving somebody an invitation, opportunity to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And we'll be here. If you're still this evening not certain of where your faith is trust or your trust is placed, please, please let me show you from the scriptures how you can be sure Christ is your Savior. And if you're a believer, but there's something heavy on your heart that you still need to get right with the Lord, don't leave before you do that. Would you please make sure you make it right before you leave? I want you to, scripture says, back when Jesus had given the Lord's Supper, instituted, after that they'd sang a hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives. I've never heard that song before about praying under the olive trees. I loved it. Took us back, sounded like an old song. But I do want to do the other part that they sang in hymn, and so I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come, and if you'd get 121 at the cross. Well, let's sing 360. There is a fountain filled with blood. And then after that, I'm going to have him turn the live stream off. I want to make one announcement for our church family. But you can remain seated, but let's sing that hymn number 360, the first verse of it. There is a fountain filled with blood.
There.